If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to We Love to Hate Everything. I'm Jody, and along with my long-distance bestie Amanda, we live to break down all the things we love to hate. Each week, we scour TV, TikTok, and pop culture and deliver you our unfiltered, snarky takes on everything. Take a moment to subscribe on YouTube so you catch all our live streams and shows, and follow the links in the banner to subscribe to our free weekly podcast and two Patreon shows, We Love to Hate TV and Total Request Podcast, where you request the shows and we break them down. Once subscribed, you have instant access to our massive library of hundreds of past shows and recaps. We promise you'll love it. And listen, we're all friends here, so let us hear from you in the comments. We love getting to know you, and we hope you enjoy the show. All right, let's go. Hello, world. Welcome to We Love to Hate Everything. I am feeling especially inspired today. My favorites, Janelle Brown military inspired jackets.
So tell us the story behind that.
Well, I have been saying for at least 2 years now, I've got to get my hands on that jacket that she's wearing.
Yeah, it's a great jacket.
And a listener finally helped me find it. It's from Mod Cloth, but it, you know, it's from seasons and seasons ago. So as I was looking for an outfit to wear for my YouTube debut.
We're going to talk about that again, too. For anyone who's not a patron.
I found it on Amazon. Comes in all different colors, all different sizes. I ordered a mustard yellow, which was big mistake. Huge.
Really? I feel like that would look so good on you.
It wasn't quite the right shade of gold or mustard. It was a little bright. And it definitely looked like a band uniform. But yeah, I'm like, I'm going to keep this one. But I'm going to kind of like cash it up, kind of roll the sleeves up a little bit. And like,
oh, yeah, because you're cool.
A little casual tee underneath. But I'm so excited. I've been just waiting to show this to you. And I have a surprise later for us. But that'll be...
Can we both turn to show like what our chairs are?
Oh, Natchy.
Daphne! She's on her way to Palm Springs right now.
Oh, Daphne.
Her and Ron, they're going to have a vacation, Amanda.
As soon as they land, I bet you they're going to have a Bahama Mama.
I think they will. I think she's going to drink. I think she's, I was like, drink all the wine you can for me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so, hey, howdy from Texas. Boot lamp.
Melanie Gentry said, Amanda, I just listened to our Alaska Final Frontier recap and she remembers Bart the Bear. Yes. Wow. Never forget Bart the Bear.
Okay. Now we're talking about, let's just, you know, get all the pimping out of the way. We got Total Request Podcast. You can sign up on Total Request Podcast. You know the drill. You can find the links in everywhere. And you can get just TRP, which is you request the shows, we recap them. Or if you sign up for We Love to Hate TV, you can sign up and get the whole shebang, your episode of TRP.
Just do that. It's so much easier.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you're not listening to Sister Wives, why are you even here?
And we're still recapping our vintage Sister Wives. And just to follow through, we've had some questions about if you signed up for yearly
subscriptions. We promise we're figuring that out. Just the easiest way to get you back. You know, we're figuring it out. So rest assured, we're not trying to steal your money here. We're not going to Cody Brown.
We will deal with it.
All right. Yes.
We're not going to do a balloon payment on our podcast.
Now, Amanda, do you need an old timey handkerchief to tie a little bow around your head, or what's going on here?
I think I need to finally go to just the emergency room.
Oh,
I'm fucked up.
Oh,
my
no,
ear. I've been digging away because there's constantly stuff happening on this side of my face, and I just need to go to the ER.
Oh no.
But I'm okay.
Okay, I'm gonna make a prediction here. Well, I bet I think they're gonna hook you up with some like allergy meds, some decongestant sort of things.
I've been taking that like to an insane amount the past
week. Yeah, but they might need to do like a prescription. I think there's gonna be a nose spray involved. There might be some ear drops, okay. There might be a little steroid involved. But you need to get an ENT to look in there.
Like, I'm having trouble walking straight because I'm so
kind of fucked up. Vertigo. Okay, well we're gonna take care of what happened to Hannah on Girls. Oh, don't poke your ear, Amanda.
I'm not digging in that hard. I promise. I promise, baby. I'm just there's constantly stuff leaking out. This is just a fascinating conversation.
This episode is lit.
We're talking about earwax. Jody, I want to talk about this. I don't know if you even want to go here
place. Okay.
It's not a dark place, but like, well, it is, but I want to talk about what's going on in the universe right now, because I've been in contact with several of my lifelong friends the past week, and everyone is just going through shit right now. Everyone's having like a major life crisis at this moment.
Yeah.
Do you think is there something's going on, right?
I think there is some sort of retrograde or moon or
there
something
has to
like
be.
That. It does. It just feels like the world right now has a weird vibe, a weird feel. Of course,
absolutely.
I had one of the most traumatic experiences of my life.
See,
forevermore on Thursday,
touched that, like the intro to this was that I thought Jody hated me all week, and then I realized, we did that live stream on Sunday, Sunday, and it was like the most horrific experience ever. It went well though. Like I have to keep rewatching it to remind myself. No, it was fine. But I watched every person that jumped on, and everyone looked beautiful. They all like had their hair curled, makeup on. I was like, no one's mad at me. Everyone is worried about their own lives. No one is mad at you. Like it's just. So then I hear your story that you told, which I'm going to let you tell again. And from your.
I won't go in depth because I'm pretty sure it was like a 15 minute therapy session straight out of the gate.
But it's the funniest story you've ever told. It's amazing.
Oh, guys. In a nutshell, if you want, go scroll down. I'm really putting myself out here, guys. Scroll down. It's where I work now. Surrogacy is. For those of you who don't know, most of you do, but I was a gestational surrogate 2 times, and now I work for an advocacy group. And it's called Surrogacy Is. It's down at the bottom of our page. It's one of our favorite channels. In a few weeks, you'll see yours truly spotlighted on her channel. Everyone who works there and some of our surrogates who we've advocated for, they have like their own little story, and I share my surrogacy story. Not a big crier, but
sounds like you were on an episode of Dateline, basically.
Yeah,
with the amount of B-roll footage.
Like to catch an idiot. Let's see what we can make her do. You guys,
it was
the amount of
camera,
B-roll
dude.
Footage I had to do. So much gazing out of
windows.
So
much coffee.
I was, hot coffee akimbo. I was stacking board games on a shelf. I picked up a candle that was totally burnt out and smelled it. I forgot that one. I forgot to tell you that part.
Now, I want to readdress because I've re-listened to it now. That you brought a vase into a room.
They provided the vase of flowers. They brought props.
Okay.
And at one point I was in the room and I just
so
picked
stupid.
Up a vase of flowers and walked out.
But you didn't do anything with the vase. You just were carrying a vase.
Just picked it up and walked out.
Because again, you were just basic white bitch. That's what their concept was. White bitch.
And this then, like, there was a little, like, creativity involved because I walked into... Okay, by the way, this was filmed at my brother's house because dat granite. I mean, I'm not letting
forbid.
Everyone see that granite in my
don't.
Kitchen. Right? No, don't even go there. Anyone who doesn't know, that granite is in my kitchen. I mean,
it's bad.
She doesn't want to be seen by the any more masses that have already seen her. So I'm filming at my brother's house and I have, like, you know, my cup of coffee and I walk in the sunroom. I take a little sippy, put it down, curl up on the couch, and I pull up an iPad that's not mine, that's totally locked and dead. And I'm like scrolling. And then Alex, videographer to the stars, decides it's gonna be like a little creative fun. If he went outside and filmed me from outside, like through the window as I scrolled.
Like,
I think I can
feel so much your, because I did used to be famously an actress, a very bad actress, but I did. Used to be my career. So I can totally just feel your headspace while this was happening. Like, you knew. Like, I feel like you, but this was an out of body experience for you. That
yes.
You're like, I just have to do it. Yeah, whatever. Just tell me what to do. I'll do
and
it.
And my normal gait when I walk is pretty brisk. And so, like,
me
I
too.
Feel like I was having to move in slow motion, like a rhinoceros. And then, you know, it was fun because we went outside and it was a little misty. So I had an umbrella. And I
that
had
is
to
the
walk,
funniest thing to
walk
the
down
umbrella.
The block one way, down and then back towards the camera and waved to an imaginary neighbor. It's cute.
Just so you guys know, we will be recapping this entire thing, like, live on the air.
I'm not. When I will not attend.
You made me rewatch myself in Extreme Forensics. So
you
we're doing
acting.
It, babe.
This is me. This is way.
But
worse.
You were acting. We're doing
yeah, but
it,
no,
babe.
I'm like bawling. There's boogers, I think, that are flowing at one point. Oh, camera,
yes.
Like from this way, and guys, side, second camera, right.
That's the
there.
Worst part.
Right there. Right there. And of course, huge
profile.
Pimple breakout. Huge. And it's like in recovery. So it was like, didn't know what it was. And then, there was like, tissue shards all over my face that they apparently didn't see because, you know, I'm
and
like
it's gonna
an
be
idiot.
In HD.
Oh, it's gonna be. And I'm like, hey, you guys didn't want to like film. They're like, oh, we didn't see it. I'm like, okay, cool. Anyway, well, and then I did I was a surrogate in 2014 and 16 for I always say I'm the most normal child in my family, and I've made 5 men daddies.
Yeah.
I only slept with one of them. So I had to do like some funny movements for GIFs. And then
like,
I did some stock photos like,
crazy.
Like I'm holding a thought bubble. I did like a poster, like a
wow.
Oopsie. Yeah.
God.
All right, let's move past that. So
I have a quick update on my life because I know that he will never watch this or see
no.
this, but I did finally reach out to my dad.
Okay.
Jody knows this, and asked him, hey, can we sit down and just like work on our relationship? And his I sent you his text back. It was not great.
I think
it was like
men,
no, I'm good.
No, I think he, no, listen.
That's not how you see it.
Men of that age, they're all a little like on the spectrum where they're like, no, we're good. Yeah. We don't need to talk about it. Like, we're all good. Out of sight, out of mind. Let's not like go do a whole thing. We're good.
His last two words to me were, take care. Take care.
Yeah, but that's men, dad. They were never taught to like deal with their emotions and stuff like that. So he's saying like, we're all good, but we're women and we're better with our emotions. So we take it a different way.
It's all so fascinating. What's going on?
Well, hey, did it cheer you up that I have been binging Friends from the beginning?
No, that actually did. I because I've been so sick with this sinus infection that you texting me that yesterday, I was like, oh,
I'm working
so excited
my way
to
through.
Talk about Friends. Oh, you are, like, from start to finish?
Yeah, I'm in season 4 or 5 maybe right now.
All right, what's going on, babe?
Oh, let's see. Well, Phoebe has met her brother. They did like a flashback episode where we see
Giovanni Ribisi. I think he's like a Scientologist, yes. Isn't he?
Yes. And his sister was also in, I think, the episode right after it. She was one of Rachel's friends who was at the table with her when in the flashback, like the one with the flashback, right. Chandler is going to like pick her up. He like throws the pool stick. And he's got the goatee. Okay, well, whatever. She was the redhead in Dazed and Confused, spamming guy says. Anyway, I mean, hey, listen, it's better than I thought it was. You become numb to the laugh track, to the boom, 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 boom.
You gotta.
No, it's not even a thing anymore. It doesn't even occur to me. So it's pretty good.
You know, I was on an episode of... Shore Store / Surreality, and Erica, we had this conversation too. Erica hates Friends. She's like, I it's not funny.
Yeah, I think if you just are assigned an episode, like you assigned me an episode, it just stands out because it's like, whoa. But once you're in it, you know, you're just like in the flow of it. And
you just got to live in it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how this podcast is, that you need to. Like, probably. Yeah, hate both of us at first, but then you kind of, it's just that.
Who are these like, bitches?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Stockholm Syndrome.
We're the B-roll of podcasters. Yeah. We're like, oh, basic. Yikes.
But then you kind of get to know us and you're like, oh, okay, I can listen to this.
Yeah.
Any episodes that are standing out to you?
No, but I'm very excited. Actually, this leads me to something I kind of want to do every week. I stumbled across this TikTok, and now, you know, people are reposting it with their own, and it is, some chick named Allie. Let me see here. Allie something. And she put out like her favorite dinner party questions. Like, what's something you throw out at a dinner party and get people talking? And in the comments, and people have reposted questions, and they're so, so good. And they really, really get you thinking. So I'm like, I'm going to keep some of these, throw them out every week. And one of them was, were Ross and Rachel on a break? No, I have not gotten to that episode, but I know in my heart they were on a break.
They were on a break.
Yeah.
I completely agree. They were on a break.
And I think if you're on a break, I mean, if you're on a break, you're on a break.
You're on a break.
And she kind of is a lot.
Yeah, like, Rachel is to handle. Like, relax.
Are any couple that like horny and in love all the time?
I mean, I'd like to think that for both of our futures. By the way, Melanie Gore is asking, Amanda, how old is your dad? He's 70. So I don't know if that, does that mean anything? He's 70.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
But
taught to deal with emotions. It's like, we're good. Let's move on.
But no, they were definitely on a break. I've always thought that even as a kid. I'm like, she said, let's take a break. And she had Mark over at her house.
Yep. Yeah, she's kind of horrible. She's high maintenance. She requires a lot of attention.
Okay, so what's another topic that you'd ask at a party? Because okay, I'm so here's I another feel like one. True crime stuff, like things that if someone said, I would be immediately obsessed with them.
Yeah, someone threw out there, but I know what we would both say. They're like, if you could solve one unsolved mystery of our lifetime, what would it be? And obviously, I mean, okay, first thing that
John
comes to
Benet
mind
Ransby?
Is exactly, but we know Burke did it allegedly.
I mean,
he
did it.
I mean, we could throw Maura Murray out there, but I think it's kind of the consensus. She was picked up by someone, and you know.
Oh, really? In my head, she really did just walk into the woods.
I thought that too, but then I watched the episode with Alison Dubois, There was that whole series a couple years ago that came back on, and she got vibes that she was picked up by someone she knew that was perhaps following her. But this one, okay, so this question just got me. It's not the best question, but it got me because it made me think of, oh, you want a new whirlwind? Here I am. Diana, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. You're in the castle when the spell that transformed Beast's castle is cast. What object do you become? First thing that comes to mind to me, the big wardrobe, because obviously...
I was just going to say that, because then we could just sit there.
I'm the funny big girlfriend.
I've played that character, Jody. I've been... Yes, I was that character.
You were wardrobe?
Yes. It's called like the Madame something. I don't know.
I mean, the duster, like, that would be a reach for me, but, like, it would be fun to be a duster because I'd be, like, so skinny.
She's skinny.
And, like, everyone thinks I'm hot. There's a tile in my shower. There's a tile in my shower. If you go way back years on my Instagram, I posted it. Didn't get enough traction, might I add, that looks like the candlestick. Like, the natural variations in the tile. Oh, full, yes. It has his face and he's like, uh-huh. I'm going to take a picture and repost it because it absolutely is Lou Bear in my shower.
See, now, Beauty and the Beast is complicated to me because my singing voice, I should be Belle, but I never would have been Belle. But like, I did this is an actual thing that I attended. Okay. My parents paid for me to attend a like 5-day long belting workshop in New York. Do you know what belting is
it just like screaming from your diaphragm?
Yeah, it's like an Ethel Merman singing. Yeah. And I and my parents, we all went, and because I think at that point like it was being discussed like in the lexicon, like, is this healthy? And I sang a song from Beauty and the Beast, I think it was Home, and I got a standing ovation.
See, you should have been Belle. Deserve to be Belle.
But I was
for
the
Halloween
wardrobe.
You should be Belle. Hey, wardrobe, what? I mean, I said you should be Belle for Halloween, but wardrobe, I think wardrobe is one of the best characters, so that would be my question.
Well, she just
that would be my answer rather. Okay, so here is I'll throw another one out here. What your favorite commercial that often brings up childhood memories? Like, what is that commercial that comes up when I say childhood memory commercial?
Duh, don't you put it in your mouth. Don't you stuff it in your face. Because it might be good to eat and it might be good to taste. If you don't know just what it is, don't put it in your mouth.
And that's why I don't do blowjobs. I told you that. It's so gross. Pee pee comes out of there. That's disgusting.
No, this was a Canadian commercial that would air just with two blue Muppets telling you, like, don't eat stuff. Like, don't eat weird
like
stuff.
Like poison control?
Like ask an adult, yeah.
Okay. Well, that was actually another question is, what's your favorite Muppet?
Grover?
I know what you're going to say.
What?
Oh, I thought you were...
Telly.
Oh no, I thought you were gonna say Fozzie Bear. He's a little neurotic. No. Or Gonzo.
No, because I always liked Telly because he was always the most depressed. He's the most like anxiety-ridden.
I always identify with Eeyore. Okay, so easily my commercial. Well, I mean, the Mentos song comes to mind, but my favorite was My Buddy. Do you remember the My Buddy or Kid Sister doll? I wanted one so bad.
They talk about it on Doughboys all the time. So yes, I do know.
Okay. Well, the song was catchy. It was My Buddy, My Buddy, My Buddy, My Buddy, wherever he goes. Oh, wait, wherever I go, he goes. Kid Sister, Kid Sister, Kid Sister, Kid Sister, Kid Sister and me. And I wanted it so bad because I was the youngest and I wanted a little sister, but my mom thought the doll was ugly and she wouldn't get it for me.
Yeah, no, we just, both of us grew up not having brand name toys.
I know. I wanted the Gem doll too, but my mom would never get me the Gem doll because Gem wouldn't fit in Barbie's clothes. And she was kind of she was like a big boned Barbie.
I remember it when I was like, one of my first memories, it was Christmas. I was probably six and my mom had made, I had a My Little Pony and my mom had crocheted. This is such a cute story. Aww. Now that I look back, she had crocheted this pony, like, cause we were poor. Like she crocheted, like an outfit for this pony. And she wrote me a letter from Santa, like, Amanda, here's your little pony. He's very cold. So make sure that you put this, you know, this outfit on him.
Oh, that's cute.
And even at the time I knew that, like, I knew that this was because, you know, we couldn't afford like actual name brand stuff, but like it was cute. So she definitely got the pony from a garage sale. And then, but anyway,
that's adorable. Yeah. Santa wrote me a letter one time when I had asked for, when I asked for a puppy and we were going to stay at like a hotel on Christmas night. We were going down to like the Radisson down the street. And that was like a big thing. And Santa was like, oh, I would have gotten you a puppy, but you guys are going to a hotel. And I was so fucking pissed. I was like, God damn it. Like, well, obviously I wasn't. I was like, if we weren't going to the hotel, you would have brought me a dog. Like, such an idiot. But anyway, yeah, so I'm going to hang on to questions as I gather them because there's some that are like very deep and thoughtful and then others are just kind of fun to think about.
No, I think that's a good recurring subject or segment for us. That's fun.
Yeah, I like that. Did you happen to watch the Glee documentary, the 3-part Price of Glee?
Da-da-da. Jody, why are you bringing up Glee right now for me?
I'm sorry. It should make you feel better because everyone on this documentary. Okay, by the way, the first part is all like, Glee was so popular. It was like really cool. It was like ahead of its time, blah, blah, blah. The juicy stuff doesn't come until episode 2 when they start trash talking Lea Michele.
Okay.
The monster she was.
I'll tune in for that.
But the thing is that it's all crew members. And there's crew members that are like, you know, in their 50s, 60s that are shit
talking her. That's who you want to hear from, though.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no main cast on this at all.
Obviously,
they're all like on there for fame, but whatever. It's all like their stand-ins, but oh, yeah. They're like, it was always about Lea.
Do you want to hear something sad? It's when you just said, have you seen the Glee documentary? My first thought was, I bet my dad would come over and watch that with me. God, I need to go to therapy.
Oh, no.
I have to go to therapy because he would. He would come over.
He shouldn't watch it because he really loves Glee. And
His Lea. Well, don't talk shit about my Lea, Amanda, on your podcast.
Yeah, no. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I take the crew who really have nothing to gain from this, or like the hairstylists, or like the set designers, or continuity, whatever.
Oh, they were talking
some shit. Yeah, they're like, maybe I will watch it. He saw in her, we wouldn't have put those two together. She was so eager. After he died, 2 weeks later, they went back to work, and it was her decision. Ryan Murphy gave her the decision, like, are we going back, when are we going back? And she's like, oh, right away, 2 weeks. And they were all saying like, we need more time for this. Yep. And she made it and Amanda, they have the footage of her audition where she tells the
accompanist,
no, go back or whatever she screams at them. They have the whole thing. They
crazy thing to do.
But they don't say anything that it's...
No, because they thought she was a character. They thought it was cute.
So I was explaining to my daughter Paige, who was watching it. I'm like, Amanda says it's really bad. You don't do that. That's like really, really bad.
Very much like you very much quickly learn that you don't fuck with the accompanist in an audition.
Yeah. And apparently accident right before, and she had pieces of glass that she had to shake from her hair. The show must go on, Amanda.
She must be a hero.
Naya Rivera's dad is on throughout the whole thing, and he just seems like such a sweet, like such a great man. I'm like really rubbing in the daddy issues here, but anyway, I think they did a good job as someone who's only seen Glee for TRP, where I'm just ripping on it endlessly. You know what they didn't go into? How Wheels, what's his name? The guy who they have in a wheelchair the whole time not really
the kid from the office
to a wheelchair. That is like, that's so wrong. And then during the concert, they have him in the wheelchair. And then during, like, I'm a Believer or something, he jumps out. And now he can walk and dance.
And most of the... By the way, for anyone who wants, who cares, we watched the Glee concert for
Glee Live.
Best podcast. Mm-hmm. And it was insane. Like, part of the choreography was, like, all the... people having to like push wheels around the stage.
Yeah, they don't push him up. It's like he can walk. I mean, like, what? There's no
let him walk.
Are they staying in character or are they not? So it's like, while some are breaking character, he's still just getting pushed around. And they would have to really run to get him up that ramp. They would like have to build up some
momentum, inertia.
Yeah, but then later when he has his solo, he just like gets up and he's like, boom, boom, boom. He's like breakdancing and shit.
And the audience goes crazy. They're like, wow, he can walk.
And Darren Criss and his like doo-wop boys or whatever.
And stop bringing up my dad.
That whole show is wild. It's crazy. Actually, one of our favorite TRPs. Well, of course, I love our Return to Fat Camp. Our MTV Fat Camp from way back in the early 2000s, and Diane.
We've done Fat Camp and Return to Fat Camp.
Some of my favorite episodes, as are Glee and Baywatch, which was so terribly bad. How that ever made it on TV?
What's the one with the pot in the dog's Seventh Heaven?
Oh yeah,
that was another great episode.
Just because I'm a 17-year-old widow, Jessica Biel. Remember? There's like a guy who's a single dad and a widow somehow.
But the family Laura Terry in the chat says, am I the only one who has no interest in Glee? No.
No, you are not. It's so bad.
Glee sucks. And I used to be like a music theater geek and I never liked it.
Yeah, Fat Camp is good. And actually this week we're going to do a watch along of... It's kind of the same thing as Fat Camp, but it was called Camped Out. It was like a 1-hour special of kids going to theater camp in a Fat Camp sort of scenario.
So I'm just really trying to trigger myself all week.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
It'll be funny though.
Yeah. You started watching something that's supposed to be a big hit, but it's not, right? Was it Banshees or something?
I've been planning all week. And again, I've been dealing with this whole thing, and my dad stuff. Banshees of Inisherin, I think is what it's called.
And it's considered
the most beautiful, amazing, perfect movie. It's probably going to win the Oscar. And I've been planning to watch it all week and I clicked play on it. And within 3 seconds, I was like, I can't watch this. Cause it was just like showing like Ireland. I was like,
that sounds pretty. You watched The Whale, though. You thought that was really good?
Yeah, because I related so much to it.
Okay. Well, the Oscars, the nominees are coming out Tuesday morning. Are you going to wake up early to watch?
I mean, I'll probably be up because of my sleeping schedule. But yeah, The Whale. I think you should watch The Whale. I think you'd love it.
We'll see.
If you understand depression or binge eating or again, daddy issues. You will definitely like The Whale. You might not be able to relate to
it. I might be able to relate to a thing or two.
But I think, you know, it's a great movie. I loved it.
Spamming Guy asks, have we done The Wonderful Lights of West Virginia? We have. I want to say that was maybe in our first two or three episodes of TRP way back when. Yeah. Okay, so Banshees of Inisherin. It sounds like it gets juicy from the comments here.
I know the whole plot line because I've watched a lot of TikToks about it. So I've read about it. Because I was trying to see, because I knew there was like, I think there was a dog in it. So I was like nervous that I was like, should I watch this?
Sure.
I don't watch movies where dogs die, babe. Hi, Julie. Yeah. Julie's here.
Julie from Wrestling Bitch Face Pod. So I have, the highlight of my day on Thursday as I was being tortured, do my B-roll, is again, I did get a little alert that Alec Baldwin was charged.
Our conversation was me texting you a screenshot just that he got charged. And I said, are you happy now? And you just said, yes.
Yep. I'm very happy. Also very happy that everyone is being reminded that Hillary is not from Spain. It's going up all over TikTok again. Hilaria.
Hilaria.
Cucumber, how you say? So she was stopped on the street by paparazzi that she obviously called, and she's like, why you follow us? You know, I'm not going to say anything. You know, me and Alec, what our children say, mommy, why men with camera, why they follow? It's family, my family and my children, they say mommy. She is back to the shtick. She never lost it. That is some kind of crazy that you have been outed, that you went to Spain twice for vacation. And her lineage goes back to like colonial days. She's more American than, like, you know, I don't know, well, George Washington, whatever. But Peppino, okay, this is our people here. So Peppino's is the subreddit or whatever. There's Peppino's, everyone's onto her. And like, I probably shouldn't say this publicly, but like, allegedly, if she used surrogates to grow her family, allegedly,
no, I was just gonna say, like, is this something? This, yeah, you're in this business, so maybe you shouldn't say anything.
I didn't say anything. I just said, like,
no, you didn't say anything.
I might know.
Yeah,
you know, allegedly, but I don't know.
Your opinion.
Allegedly, right? Well, I mean, definitely for Mary Lou, because Mary Lou, was. Okay, we're not gonna go into it, but like, I mean, she's the worst. Alec Baldwin absolutely should have been charged. Whether
me and Jody are on the opposite sides of this whole thing, because I like Alec Baldwin and he didn't do it on purpose, and I feel bad for him.
Well, I don't think he woke up and is like, I'm gonna kill Helena Hutchins today,
right?
But he was reckless. He shouldn't have been doing that with a gun, even if it weren't loaded.
But that's not his fault. It's the proper.
It is his fault. No, because he still shouldn't have been handling the gun that way.
But I've handled guns in theater before, and I've had to shoot it off. And would it have been my fault if I accidentally?
You never shoot it at a person. But you like still never. Okay. Well. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's his fault. I don't think he should have been charged.
That's cute. But you also think Scott Peterson, OJ, and
I don't
Cosby
actually
are like
think that.
Citizens.
It's just funny.
You are a huge Cosby head. Love Scott Peterson. Even Drew Peterson.
Can we say who we both like? That we're not supposed
Who's
to.
Who's that? Go ahead.
It's a comedian.
Okay.
You say it though.
Now listen. Okay, hold on. First, I just have to reiterate what Maddie is saying here. Alec was the executive producer, and it was production
I'll
company.
Agree with-
they skirted safety rules the entire production. Okay.
Okay, I will agree with that. As a producer, he should have.
Yes. Okay. Great. Thank you. Oh, look at. Okay. Oh, everyone's team Jody. Thank you guys. Thank you. Although we do know,
people are agreeing with me.
Oh my gosh, you guys are hilarious. So, okay, we're like, we'll see if he beats the charges. He beat the charges. Okay, so comedian. I don't like
this
two-letter redheaded man did.
Yeah, let's just say that.
Louis C.K. I enjoyed his comedy before. I don't like what he did. I mean, like, I'm the most prude of all prudes on earth.
Oh, I can't imagine how you would have handled that. That would have been fucked up. But it's funny.
I would have frozen and probably, like, apologized because I'm an idiot. And that's how, like, most females react in that situation. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Anything to me? I'd like to think I wouldn't, but I would be so shocked I wouldn't know what to do.
I would be so not shocked if a man did that in front of me.
That's so wild to me.
Because you've been married.
So if you don't know
long.
What he did, he asked women, other comics, comedians to come up and watch him
jerk off.
Yeah. I don't get that how that's a thing. How is that a thing?
Well, I don't know.
Wouldn't you be embarrassed to have someone watch you do that?
I kind of like it because I like watching a man like in kind of a state like that. It's kind of like I feel like I'm in power while that's happening. Because it's so funny to be watching this. This is such a funny thing that you're watching. It's so stupid.
Okay. Again, we're talking about Louis C.K., how he would ask women to come up and he would masturbate in front of them. Apparently, he said he asked them. But still, like, you're being asked by someone who is very popular, you know, ahead of you in your profession. I get why they would be like, okay. Probably just because they're so stunned. But that doesn't make it okay. It's gross, right? I don't know.
It's gross. But it's funny. I think the whole situation, it's fucked up. It's funny to watch a man masturbating, I think. Because I'm like, look at what you're doing.
I would be horrified.
This is like, this is so funny.
Men are just disgusting. I don't want
to. Yeah, I think that's really what it comes down to. Do you want to get on the Sister Wives?
This is just bizarre. Well, hey, is there anything else? Let us know in the comments. Anything that's getting looped in social media and so on. Nothing else going
updated,
on with work. Did you hear back from anyone from your waitressing
stage gig? Was?
Yeah, did you return the credit card machine?
I handed it to them when they knocked on my window. That was that was a really crazy thing that I did, and I stand by it. There was 45 orders of drinks to go out in 2 minutes. There's no way anyone could have handled that. So no. And I'm fine.
Oh my God, you are cracking me up. Hey, a lot of people are saying either hold on. We do need to address this before we get into the book. I did mean to bring this up. I had this written down. Did you watch McKelty and Tony's live or whatever they did?
I did not, because again, I was dealing with my ear, but is it worth watching? Should we watch this?
I'm sure you heard the gist of it. I know that she had said that like, they were like very poor, that they were like eating food scraps from someone who owned a bakery in their family, which I think is also something else that perhaps Peyton had talked about, like a favorite food or favorite bread or cracker or cereal or something they had.
Not the mock
tapioca, but there is something else that someone makes somewhere. And I don't know. I just don't think they have.
Wait, hang on. A random cat wants you to do a Tony Boys.
Oh, that McKelty told me they were really poor when they were younger and they would like eat food scraps or something. They eat food scraps. It's just they don't have the personality. They're not going to be spilling the tea like Gwendolyn is. And Peyton is his father's son. Yes, he's throwing some stuff out there, but I don't trust Peyton 100%. I think a lot of the stuff he's saying is true, but he's...
I do too, but I couldn't imagine dating Peyton because I think he would be emotionally abusive, probably.
He's definitely one to call you fat.
In an underhanded way.
Oh, he'd like squeeze your arm or something.
Yeah, like Bacon Fingers, who was 8,000 pounds, would like, okay. Whenever I would say, don't touch my stomach. And he'd just go, well, no, I want to touch your stomach because I love every part of you. Like, but I don't want you to touch my stomach.
No. I don't. Well,
like, right? Like, while you're sleeping, do you want a man's hand on your?
I don't want anything touching
the belly
when I'm
part
sleeping.
That's hanging down.
Except my body pillow. Except my pillow
my dog.
Fortress.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And Latrice on my head.
That's
all right,
true. Okay, I have a little surprise for you.
Oh my god!
While I'm opening this, we have Noelle is asking about MILF Manor. I've heard about this, so I'm gonna watch it. And I'm also halfway through Traitors, so I know it's like a huge show that everyone is watching on Peacock. It's all reality TV people. None that we really recap a lot of, but I'll talk about that when I'm finished. Okay, so I need to get your address to, or your permission to give your address to a listener, Amanda K. Prestigiacomo. She sent a little note, and I'm not sure if she wants me to like read it, but I guess I just gave her last name and so on. But guys are gonna love this.
And okay. It's live now, so it's already happened.
No, it's live. I was gonna unbox this last week, but we had like a spamming guy is Amanda. Oh, you look at. Okay,
hello.
So here we go. Okay, Amanda, close your eyes. I'm gonna get it front and center. And close your eyes. Okay.
Tell me when to open them.
Open.
Oh.
Boot lamp. It's really awesome. I think it's really awesome.
I am actually like emotional. Like that was, I've had such
Isn't
a bad
this
week.
Amazing.
That was really just.
It's boot lamp. Boot lamp.
I actually am like crying. Like that was.
Oh my God.
That somebody did that.
Is this not
that's amazing best? Yes, that's
this is
wow.
Amazing. So she's gonna get your she says she was cross stitching during our like 4 hours of nonstop.
You could get like an entire you could get an entire Hudson Bay Afghan done in
the accuracy of that boot. The accuracy, look at that. It's oh look at
that actually like what like looking at that centered me just now.
It's
like
beautiful.
It really just made me go to Zen.
There is nothing that makes me feel more at home than a cross-stitch boot lamp. I think it's really awesome.
Like we make fun
look
of Janelle.
Your face was like wistful.
No, we make fun of Janelle's boot lamp, but like in reality, is the boot lamp maybe the coolest thing on the planet? Like, should we not all just have boot lamps?
Besides her coat, of course, that I'm channeling here this week. It's amazing. It's amazing. Thank you, Amanda.
Now,
it is hung up.
Thank you so much. Like I am probably going to sob about that afterwards while I'm in the emergency room waiting for an appointment. Before we start, Jody, and I know I pimped you out 100 times last week, but I think we all need a taste of this. Do a cameo of Janelle thanking Amanda for.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The boot lamp crossed it.
Amanda, thank you. I just wanted to say I never thought about the boot lamp, but we had two of them. And I haven't seen them in years, but I really I think they're awesome. I am awesome, you know, families are awesome, boots are awesome, lamps are awesome. Amanda.
Bye. Those boot lamps, do you think those boot lamps are in storage or are those the first thing to come out of the U-Haul?
I don't think she's getting rid of boot lamp. Amanda, I agree with everyone saying you need to sell these. I asked her, do you have a shop or something?
Oh, people will buy
those. She doesn't. Oh my
God.
Get
a shop.
Look
at it.
Everyone wants the boot lamp.
Or just post it in our Facebook group.
Yes.
People will buy them from you, I promise.
Absolutely. She wants to do a cross stitch of Walter and Latrice.
Oh, stinky poopy butt. Walter,
Latrice
stinky.
Will just have like a knife. Just like. Boot lamp. I love boot lamp. All right. So shall we get on to the real star of the show?
Yeah, I got it. I really can't hear now because my ear is frozen. But let's do it.
Okay, I agree, Mary P. Boot lamp is Janelle's power piece. The boot lamp gives her badass mojo.
No, I just love that we actually see the moment of Cody, like, it's B-roll footage of them in Colleen's consignment or whatever, and we actually get to see the moment of Cody pointing at the boot lamp and being like, "Yeah, should we get this?" And then just it silently being in the next scene. At her home.
Also from Colleen's consignment, the chairs.
God.
The chairs. I would murder anyone
Amanda.
Who brought that into my home.
Like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Where?
This match is
sitting
nothing.
At a table. God, he's so terrible. Okay, so we
where are we starting here? Because I feel like we need to really give this the attention it deserves and just read everything.
Well, I would like to read the dedication.
Yeah, that's where I am
those,
too.
To all those who lived and loved before us in secrecy, unable to acknowledge their love, marriages, and life publicly, we dedicate our story to you.
He's acting like they like won a world war or something. Like they've really done something.
Well, this is a number one New York Times bestseller.
Oh, by the way, we were going to change our background for this.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes. Yes. I mean, we really need to like get into the mode here.
Oh, wait, you need to do it. I can't.
What happened?
Should oh, just my computer. There we go. Yeah, perfect.
We want Coyote Pass. This is
I have to stay on the comments. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I think this is perfect. Right.
Okay. So we go, I mean, we talked about the family tree last week, so we won't spend a lot of time on that.
It mentions all the family who, like, listen, we all know the family. We know all
and
the
Ariel has not been born yet.
No, which is, now, I mean,
listen,
better
you
world.
Thought we were going to go, you thought we were going to go right to chapter one, but guys, before chapter one, there's a prologue written by
Cody
Quinn Brown. Cody Quinn.
And there are, you guys, like, don't worry, like, there are so many chapters here.
Oh,
there's like, so there's many so chapters. Many. And they're all several pages long.
My favorite is just the first sentence alone. Amanda, would you like to take the lead on that?
Sure. Yeah. Well, do you want to do like the thing we did before, like with pass?
Oh, spirit reading, as I called spirit it back reading. In the day. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Cool. Prologue.
Prologue. Heart. Look at that artwork.
I wonder who drew that.
They thought of everything.
Cody. I am. I just need to.
I'm sitting there.
I am sitting in a room off the grand ballroom in the Beverly Hills Hilton.
I almost can't
believe I'm here. I'm a small town boy, not some Hollywood superstar.
Which he's trying to say, I was a small town boy, but now I'm a superstar. That's what he really means.
Now I am a superstar. Yeah, he's saying. I'm a superstar. This glittering place is a far cry from my current hometown of Lehigh, Utah. Oh, God. So they're still living in Lehigh here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The occasion is the Television Critics Association biannual press tour. God. The Television Critics Association biannual press tour at which networks announce their fall lineup of television shows to the media.
Mm.
I'm gonna pass.
He was told to use as many adjectives as possible.
That was a lot of words right there. That was the smartest thing he's ever said.
It's important that he puts biannual press tour. God, he's such an idiot. On stage, they're playing a clip.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Is he just talking about the upfronts?
I believe so.
Okay.
I think so.
Throughout the upfronts, okay.
On stage, they're playing a clip from a new show on the Discovery Channel. It's about Greenpeace crusaders who are devoted to saving whales. It's a hippie version of that channel smash hit, Deadliest Catch. This is the kind of show the critics are expecting. The kind of show guaranteed to draw attention without polarizing the audience.
So
my show is
that?
A lot more controversial. What?
What show is that?
I don't know. Something that probably was a one-hit wonder.
Yeah. Right, okay.
My show is a lot more controversial. It's the first of its kind. Like the Greenpeace activists on stage, I, too, am taking a stand. But I have no idea how my fight will play out in the court of public opinion. I have no idea how critics, the audience, and the American public are going to react to me. I'm getting nervous.
Oh, I'm sitting in a chair getting my hair and makeup done. Makeup! I grew up on a ranch in rural Wyoming. I never, ever thought I'd wear makeup, let alone have a team of people apply it, making sure I'm camera ready. The stylist asked me casually, so what's your show about? This is so him bragging, too.
He loves wearing makeup. Like, he said this exact same thing when he was dressed up as King Tut a couple weeks ago. It's like, makeup! I never wear makeup.
So the stylist asked me casually, what's your show about? Oh, I say, trying to be as offhand as possible. It's about my family. I'm a polygamist and I have four wives. Well, the stylist stops fussing with me for a second. I can see the shock in her eye. I know what she's thinking. Also, she would know beforehand what this is.
Yeah, and also she's just like trying to ask you what you need so you can get out and she can go powder the nose of the next person.
She doesn't give a fuck. Like I said at the beginning of this entire episode, no one cares about anyone else.
But he knows what she's thinking because he's a man and she's a woman. So he knows what she's thinking.
I mean, I the chart is out of my reach, but I mean, yeah, I know what she's thinking. I'm an average looking dude who looks more like a surfer. Oh my God.
He wishes.
I'm an average looking dude who looks more like a surfer than a religious fanatic. How could I be a polygamist? He says. You go.
He wishes he looked like a surfer. God, he sucks.
The long hair only gets you so far.
Yeah. No. After I'm done with hair and makeup, I'm ushered backstage with my wives. We wait anxiously as the 120-second teaser for our show plays on the big screen of the auditorium. Okay, it's 2 minutes, Cody. 2 minutes. You can just say trailer. The 120 seconds.
There's an episode of The Comeback about the Upfronts that is actually interesting, if you want to check it out.
Okay. They've added some pumping music to the trailer, trying to infuse my family's life with tension and intrigue. My heart begins to pound. I'm breathing shallowly. What have I done? I'm about to expose my family to the world. I'm about to do the very thing most polygamous families live in fear of. I'm about to go public. I know I'm putting my family at risk. My wives and I could lose our jobs. But
Janelle has a job. Yeah, Janelle did lose her job, right?
Oh, okay. My wife, singular, could lose.
Well, her and family. Mary lost her job at the engraving factory.
Oh,
things engraved. She lost her job at that.
Our children could be tormented at school, but I'm tired of hiding. I'm tired of living like a second-class citizen. I'm tired of lying about my life. I have a wonderful family, a perfectly happy family, with beautiful wives and beautiful children. I don't want us to live the rest of our days in fear. I'm about to ask America to accept us. Okay, no one gives a fuck, Cody. No one cares.
No one cares. But it is, I guess it's interesting. Like, I mean, at the time, the Upfronts, they'd be like, oh, this looks like a good show. Yeah, we'll watch it.
Also, this is very telling that he goes, I'm putting my family at risk. My wives and I could lose our jobs. Our kids could be tormented. But I'm tired of hiding, so fuck them all. I'm doing this.
And that's not what happened. He's not tired of hiding. He's just, they got a show and he's like, this is easy money. And yes, Mary P. in the comments says, Cody had a job in sales. Yeah, I know. They have all had jobs. It's just kind of funny to like, it's just a funny thing to constantly.
He did, but they also said that that one sign he sold or that one billboard fed the family for years. I think he made ass sale and was like, well, that could beat us for years. And then he quit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then he bought that sports car. Okay. You finish out this little.
I grasped my wife's hands in an informal prayer circle. We drew strength from one another and from faith in our God. We renew our commitment to our beliefs. I steady myself. The world is ready, I think, to hear our story. The world is ready to accept us for who we are and not shun us for our beliefs. I drop my wife's hands as we are called to the stage.
And now there's dots. Like, because, like, just get ready. This is like a coming up next.
He is the ultimate theater kid. As we are called to the stage. Oh my God, he loves it.
This is my moment. This is the moment.
In other words, Christine was still holding his hand and he shrugged her hand off because he needs to lead them to the stage. Get off.
I'm the man.
Obviously.
There was somebody said in our Facebook group the other day, just that moment of they were having a meeting about My Sister Wives Closet and Christine accidentally like sat in his chair and he's like, are you the head of the family? Good, get up. He's such a piece
of
shit.
Well, I mean, Christine is so stupid, isn't she? She's so dumb and unlikable.
All right, well, now this next whole section here, I need every woman watching this right now, which is probably 100% of the people watching, get out your pens and papers because Cody is going to mansplain polygamy and Mormonism. So get ready.
Okay, good.
Let me introduce you to the face of polygamy. Mm. When people hear the phrase Mormon fundamentalist, they probably think about a small subset of our population, the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For too long, this organization and the handful of abusive men, sure, Jan.
He's definitely one of them.
Yeah, it's just a few. It's a sprinkling of men that were abusive in this community, have been the poster children of polygamy in America. Until recently, the FLDS was run by Warren Jeffs. Oh my God, we know.
Here we go.
I can't believe we're talking about fucking Warren Jeffs, who has been found guilty of child sexual assault and is now serving a life sentence in prison. He ruled his organization with an iron fist, creating a climate rampant with abuse and fear. Huh? Who does that sound like? He not only tolerated but also promoted child brides. Well, you were dating a 17-year-old when you were.
You also kiss Aurora and Brianna on the lips. So.
He summarily reassigned the wives of men he deemed unworthy to new husbands. These are not my beliefs. This is not my world. While we share a belief in the principle of celestial plural marriage, there's no way Cody actually wrote this. There are too many big words here.
Yeah, as someone else said, he had a thesaurus next to him.
He had a ghostwriter here. I want to make it clear that the practices of the FLDS has no place in my universe. We belong to a different religious community, one that has several thousand members worldwide. And our faith, incest, and spousal abuse are serious crimes. Yeah, and in most faiths.
Also in society.
Yeah, in everyone's faith. That's like... it's an awful thing. But in Cody's faith, incest and spousal abuse are serious crimes, which, when discovered, results in immediate legal action.
Okay. I've had a couple requests to read a paragraph in Tony's voice. You've been asked to read in Barbara Evans' voice.
I can do it. That might pop my ear a little.
I'm sure when most people think of Mormon fundamentalists, they think of long, modest dresses and old-fashioned hairstyles, something you might see in an old Western movie. This only covers a fraction of polygamists. If we weren't on TV, you wouldn't be able to pick my family out of a crowd. Okay, that I'm going to argue no. We would definitely pick you out of a crowd because you're dressing loud and you're obnoxious.
Yeah. Well, and also they do dress weird.
Yeah, the like long shirts under tank tops.
Yeah, it's weird.
We dress like anyone else, maybe a tiny bit more modestly, but definitely modernly. Have you seen my Ed Hardy in my jeans, please? Our kids go to public school. They watch TV, go to the movies, play computer games, go to parties, and listen to popular music. They play sports, wear makeup, sometimes too much for my liking, and participate in school activities. Basically, my family's not all that different from yours. Our sect is one of the more liberal branches of Mormon fundamentalism. Unlike some other fundamentalist Mormons, we accept the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as our legitimate faith. We follow the same scripture they do. In most beliefs and practices, we differ very little from the LDS Church. Of course, the one area in which we do diverge is our belief in the doctrine of celestial plural marriage, we call
so boring.
Although not every member of our faith enters into a plural marriage, we still believe that it's a crucial step in our personal spiritual development. Okay, do we seriously want to keep reading? This is insane.
I don't know. This is so boring.
Guys, let us know in the comments because like he really sucked here, man.
Pages. Okay, well, no, we're okay.
Okay.
I mean, do you want to scroll through and guys, see let like, us if know we can go to a more interesting thing?
Okay, hold on. Go to page 8 here. So we're gonna skip to page 8.
Yeah, because this is ridiculous.
White Easter. Okay, so
standing back, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
All right, and I'll read this as Barbara.
Oh, God.
All right. Janelle,
Okay, I need to get back into it.
Everyone's saying like,
standing backstage in Los Angeles, I'm getting nervous. I know that when I go public, there will be questions about sex. It's America's obsession, after all. Okay, Cody, shut the fuck up. The reason you have four wives is for sex.
We're all just wondering if Cody's getting his pencil wet. I can't even say it out loud.
Gross. Even though my show is a family television program on a family-oriented network, the world wants to know what goes on behind closed doors. God. I know, as I'm going to say, my marriages aren't different from anyone else's in that respect. As in most relationship, passion is always there, but it waxes and wanes. Okay, I'm going back to my normal voice. With each wife, we go through phases. There are the demands of work and kids, all the regular things that interfere with the couple's private life. The one constant is that I keep my four marriages distinct and discreet. This is funny. There is no overlap, no sharing, nothing untoward or salacious.
Interesting. Okay. Okay, so we're getting a request to do Amber, some Tanya. Now,
we shouldn't have opened this up.
I'll do a little Tanya, but just so you know, Tanya and Tony are very close together.
They are. Tanya's Amber's like a lot.
Tanya is Amber Portwood's mom, by the way. There's many benefits and blessings for the lifestyle. We're a large family, not one of us loving the loneliness ever again. We're a team, strong foundation, which raises children. My wife support one another on Tuesday. They can lean on one another for small favors or for large ones. Okay, bullshit. They can lean on one another for small favors or large ones. Really? How about one of those favors being, can Cody be here because I just gave birth to Truly? Could he not go away for 11 days on a honeymoon? No, that's not allowed.
I want to read the next line because it's one of my favorite things in the world.
Okay.
The next line, everyone get ready, sit down.
Write this down. Sit down and get ready. This is shocking.
Our biggest struggles have been financial.
What? This is salacious. This is salacious.
I don't know. What? There have been lean times, he says.
Lean.
The nachos.
Lean.
Janelle eating nachos. Eating congealed nacho.
Oh my God, I can't wait for this.
It took me longer than I'd hoped to establish myself in a career, especially with wives to support. Well, great idea. Definitely get yourself into this plural marriage thing and then go after a career.
Yeah.
Of course, all my income goes to my family. Robin. I try my best to allocate money evenly. I try my best, he says, to allocate money evenly. And according to who needs it most.
Cody. She's never had a crib for her babies before.
We did an episode the other day. What was it, like polygamous, like family trip or something? Or a trip to the past? The past?
Pilgrimage to the past to Nauvoo, Illinois.
And Robin brought her sister along as the nanny. And there's this hilarious screenshot of her just eating, like dipping a carrot into
I'm pretty sure it was a bugle. It was a bugle.
Into cream cheese. Just
Philadelphia, like, name brand. Chai.
I never have Philadelphia.
As a dip. Nope. That is like, that's some big money right there.
Oh, but Robin needs it, Cody. If a wife needs a bigger car because she is expecting a new child, I prioritize that. Again, to mention the jalopy.
Yeah, if a wife needs a bigger car, Cody's going to have a sports car.
Like, yeah, but a wife, like,
we'll get her a new used minivan.
Mary had that like green Sunfire forever,
but it was cool because it was a convertible.
It was a cool. I only because I had that car. If another wife needs help completing a major home repair, this takes precedence over something more trivial.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely saw. I mean, look at Christine's basement apartment. You could obviously see all the home repairs that they made down there. It was in tip-top shape for her six children.
You can just see how equal all their house, all their living is.
Yep.
Oh, I mean, you can just see, look at Janelle is living in an RV with no running water, and Robin's living in a mansion. Yeah, clearly he's going equal.
Absolutely. Hey guys, smash that like. Okay. Oh, here's another one. All of my wives contribute significantly to both their individual households and the family as a whole. Yeah, we can see that from day one, Cody. Yeah. They do everything, you asshole.
Well, before not Robin, we went public,
well, honestly, before we went public, several of them worked full time. They support their kids. Their kids, he says.
Not his kids. Not his kids.
Our kid. No. They support their kids, and what's left over, they kick into the large group expenses, such as mortgages. Group expenses. Like the mortgages. That's, Amanda, that's what they kick. Whatever's left, they kick over into the mortgage.
Because they're house poor. They're house poor, Jody.
Oh, my God. Okay. If one of my wives chooses not to work in order to stay home and look after our kids, Christine, I make sure she's taken care of.
Oh, yeah, you can tell.
Does he want to tell us? He's absolutely going to go into detail what that means right now. If another wife makes a bundle while her sister wife is looking after the kids, she will share her bounty.
Well, we have seen that. That is the truth, because Marion, Janelle, and Christine all bought Robin's mansion.
Yeah, they do share their bounty. But again, how does he take care of the one that stays home with the kids? I'm sure he's going to get to it here, right? If someone has a windfall from tax returns or inheritance, then she usually shares a good portion of it. Huh, who would that be? A windfall from taxes or inheritance? Who would that be? Would that be Janelle?
Yeah.
Okay. What about him, though? He's going to talk about what Eve puts
it's
in, right?
It's weird how this whole paragraph, he's talking about the wives' money, and he's kind of just leaving himself out of it.
I'm sure he's going to say what he contributes, right?
Oh, yeah. It'll come. It'll come.
We're getting there. Although my wives are fiercely independent and entirely self-sufficient, like Robin, clearly, they'll never let anyone go without. We are a family of equals. That really means they're not going to have Robin go without. I want to stress that equality and fairness are our guiding principles. Since there's only one of me and four of them, I'm often considered the patriarch. Unfortunately,
God, you just spent an entire paragraph talking about how they make all the money, and now you're saying that you're the patriarch. Janelle is the patriarch.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this word has acquired a negative connotation these days.
Oh,
I'm appealed to on a regular basis simply because I'm the common denominator. I'm the basic element that my wives and children share. Ay, Dios mío. I'm a father to all the children and a husband to all my wives. Despite this, I rarely make unilateral decisions. What was that? The market is up here. We need to act.
This is
now.
This is his whole thing throughout the whole series. Is I think he thinks, if he has this thing that he keeps saying, like, my wives, I don't have any decision making at all. They just walk all over me. That's like his thing.
I'm just a man. Asked, I'll choose the direction in which the train runs, but my wives are the ones who keep it on track and running. They're the force behind our family. Bullshit. Right. How many times have we seen Cody telling the family what they're going to do?
The chart.
Word is patriarch. Yeah, exactly.
All right, I'll take over here. I know the world wants definitions to understand us. They want to know where who is the smart wife. All right, so Janelle. Who is the homemaker, Christine? Who is the silly one, Christine? Who
is the mean one, Mary? I think that's supposed to be Robin, though. I think.
You think she's the silly one?
Cody.
Because he wrote out four very specific things there.
Robin's
she's
the silly.
She's so funny.
She's young and she's so silly.
She's age bad. I won't let my family be pigeonholed, okay? Our relationships are complex and they are constantly evolving. Ours is a process that elevates us and allows us to abide in God's presence. I have a goal in mind of what my family is supposed to be and look like. It's supposed to be happy and peaceful and free. I imagine a unity that comes from joy, not from overwhelming sacrifice or pain, anguish, and suffering. You did a great job at that, bro.
Well, he's explaining it to us like we're women.
Yeah, and then also you look at the fact that all the kids now are coming out as telling the world how anguished they are and how fucked up they are and how much therapy they're all in.
Well, but that's their kids, though. That's not...
Oh, yeah, kids. That's right. It's not Robin's kids. Yeah, right.
Their kids.
It's not the King Tut and Cleopatra kids.
Oh, no.
I don't want my family to suffer for the sake of God, because if we are suffering for the sake of God, we may not be happy with him in the next one.
Okay, so this is where Cody just starts throwing words out and he doesn't know where he's going with it.
He's just talking. He's just saying stuff.
This is Cody building up to knife in the kidneys. Wasted!
This is the Michael Scott moment. Sometimes I just start talking and I just see where it goes.
Yep. Privately, we've arrived at this unity, this peace. Oh, I mean, definitely. When I see the Brown family, I just feel peace.
So peaceful.
But publicly, we're still subject to prejudice. We're misunderstood. We are outsiders. And this is what has brought me here to Beverly Hills. What?
Living in Beverly Hills.
No, like, you're what are you here talking because... about? The show brought you
here. Because you're at the upfront.
What are you talking about?
This is
no, you were on a Southwest flight to like Anaheim. They drove you there.
This and speaking of a Southwest flight, I can just picture, like, I'm surprised there's not a TikTok video that exists of Cody getting kicked off a plane for having to wear a mask.
Oh my God, I would love that. Getting the kicked off the plane for anything.
Just no, this is ridiculous.
And Robin would be off full on beaker.
Oh, you did it.
Clenched. I think it's the jacket. It's the magic in Janelle's jacket.
Somebody posted in our Facebook group that how to do a beaker. Did you see that?
I just felt it here. I think the key is you have to jut your bottom jaw out.
Yeah, she said you don't go downward, you go up,
you go out
with your bottom. You go
It's
right,
the angle of your head too, because if you go you don't really see it unless you go up. Wow. Okay, this is why we are about to show our faces to the world and announce that we are polygamists and we are proud! ! I never want my children to live in fear. Oh, really?
Weird,
because we just watched two seasons of you berating your children that they are going to die of COVID.
And then remember him teaching Truly to ride a bicycle? And she's like, Daddy, I don't want to do this.
So happy. Was that fun? Just like fun.
Also, I don't know if you remember, he also did try to kill Truly with the... bladder, the kidney.
Right. Yeah.
Knife
right.
in the kidneys.
I never want them to be forced to deny any part of themselves. Okay, let's count how many times he's done that. I want them to live openly as siblings. I don't know whether my children will enter into the principle. I don't know whether they will live a life of polygamy. Some will be called to do it and others won't. But regardless of choices,
zero people did it. Zero of your children went into polygamy because it's fucked up.
We still have Robin's kids, his kids, if you will.
Do you think they will, though? Or do you think they can? Like, do you think they can even be out there alone?
I don't think Brianna will. I don't think Dayton will. Aurora, I think, is a little slow, like Robin. So I think whatever she's told to do, she's just going to do.
She'll just kind of go with it. Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
And Areola, I mean, if
she's going to be bed sleeping for her entire life.
If she finds a partner who can deal with her because she's a fucking little bitch, then
have dates.
She's lucky. Yeah, exactly. And Solomon's just going to be like living in the cistern. Let's see. But regardless of their choices, I want the world to be a more free and understanding place for them to grow up in. I want them to feel safe in their family. Sure. And if they choose polygamy for their future, I want them to do so knowing that they will not be treated as second-class citizens. What we do with our bodies and our hearts is the most important choice of all.
Well, I mean, this is the most rambling thing.
Is that he definitely wants women to do what they want with their bodies and hearts. That's obvious. That's obvious.
Can I read this last little chapter?
Oh,
here?
Please. Yes.
Let me get into character.
Okay, okay.
My heart is pounding. This again, he's at the upfronts, okay?
Oh.
My heart is pounding as I step onto the stage. Again, I'm sure it's him and all of the wives, but this is just about him.
He's pushed his way to the front of the four of them. They're all behind him. He's gotta be in front.
I want to picture like what Janelle is wearing during this, and like it's the fact that she definitely has makeup kind of like melting. Okay.
Janelle is wearing I'm gonna go purple button up, purple.
They're probably
underneath.
All matched up.
Oh, purple all around.
Because that's Robin's favorite.
And I think her hair is kind of like mine, where it's mostly, but it's mostly up, just a little bit down in the back, and it's clipped. It's like a rectangle.
It's
clip.
Just a clip, yeah, just yep. Easy.
And it's like a little,
like yeah. I don't care.
She might even have her glasses on because like she couldn't get her contacts in the morning. She's had a day.
Now, what about Christine's? Probably pregnant at this point, isn't she?
I'm feeling like some sort of like a long sleeve with like a short sleeve crocheted sweater over it.
Yeah.
Christine. What do you feel?
Mary, I think just long sleeve with a tank top over top. And Robin looks like the Belle of the Ball.
I think Robin probably has on like her her businesswoman blazer from Express.
She wasn't
and
doing
Mary
blazers
tried to copy.
Back then.
But this is the upfront. This is business lady.
Oh, Amanda. Okay. My heart is pounding as I step onto the stage. I can feel the smile plastered on my face.
Okay.
It's my defense.
That brings back the stare down the ones. The Jack Nicholson.
Stare down the lens. Yeah. Ugh. This is really him just admitting what a psychopath he is. It's my defense mechanism. This silly grin. Okay, I would never consider it a silly grin. It's terrifying.
Silly. Well, he and Robin have a like, silly.
They're funny. We go surfing. Silly. There's a sea of faces in this auditorium. The audience is silent. I can tell what they're thinking. I feel the smile slip from my face. My heart is in my mouth. Suddenly, the audience begins to clap. I feel the atmosphere begin to warm. I sense that they are drawn to us. They are ready to hear our story.
And with that is a narcissist's. That is how a narcissist walks through life. They feel.
Yes. Yes.
I can tell what everyone is thinking. Number one, I can tell. I know what the sea of faces is thinking. My heart is in my mouth. That's not what I think he meant like My heart is in my
throat. My heart is in my throat because he can't.
My heart's in my mouth.
He can't quote.
Like, that doesn't even make sense. Suddenly. Yeah, like
in his world, everything he goes through is an event that no one else cares about. But in his head, he's like going through this.
Yeah. I feel the atmosphere begin to warm. He can feel it. He can sense things other people can't. Okay. And then he can also sense that they're drawn to him. I know this entire audience. They're drawn to me.
I don't think I've ever had that feeling in my whole life. That people were drawn to me.
All these people, like I feel warmth from all around. And they're drawn to us. And I think,
feel the mood.
You know what? You know what I think they're all ready for? Ready to hear our story. That's what I think.
But you like that's how this chapter ends, and you know he was like, boom, that was epic.
He felt alive on that stage. He should have gone into theater, honestly. That's where he should have focused all of his patriarchy.
I know, because he can sing. I would give everything I own. Give you my world, my heart, my home.
Yeah.
He can sing.
That's pretty good. He can sing. Guys, next week.
He dances, as we've seen.
Get ready. Next week. Part one. Matrimony. Chapter one. Oh, Mary.
This is going to be awful. This is going to be awful.
This is where it gets really painful, you guys. Wow. And I like the format of the book because the chapters will go like Mary, agreed. Cody, Mary, Cody. Like, you know,
it's Cody like jumps in during the book.
Weird. He never normally does that. You know what?
Yeah, we get him just, mansplaining. Like, yeah, no. God, yeah, exactly. It makes sense. It works. I hope you guys, sorry if anyone was as pissed off that we didn't read that entire mansplaining of Mormonism, but I was ready to die during that. I can't hear.
It was pretty textbook. It's just saying, like, you know, how can I love four women? It was in the book of whatever.
He just Googled right Mormonism.
Right at the end, the only thing that we didn't really say was how he said he married his first wives quickly and it would be up to the wives to say if he was allowed to court someone else. And he definitely would have courted Robin if he hadn't had their blessing. Family always comes first, he says, period. Really?
Right. But then later on in this book, we're going to find out that absolutely didn't happen because he courted Robin in secret with Mary and said, no, please don't do this. And he said, you need to get over your jealousy.
Technically, wouldn't she still be a married woman because she hadn't slept with the man? Oh, so she must have slept with Cody before?
Spamming guy says, Christine should have sang at the upfront.
Let's hear it. Hit that high G. Let's do it.
Wait, you have Hit to. What's it. The song again?
Let me call you sweetheart. Come on.
Do you guys actually want this? I feel like every time
sing. Oh, you're hitting that high G. Hit it.
You want me to find a high G?
That's what you said. You took out your keyboard when you listened to it the first time and you're like,
no, let
oh
me
my
no,
God, that's
if
fine.
I'm gonna do okay. this, I'll do it.
Okay. I know I can't get up there unless I'm screeching.
All right, well, now it's reloading. Let me guess what it is. I'm just gonna go real. I'm gonna start really high, but I'm gonna sing a whole verse, okay?
Okay.
Hang on, let me get lyrics out. Because I want to do this right if I'm doing it.
Let me call you sweetheart. I'm in love with you.
Jody, I got this. Don't you worry.
Yeah, guys, smash that like.
Yeah, smash it. If I'm doing this, I'm doing it. Let me call you sweetheart lyrics. All right.
Are there that got many it. Lyrics to it? Wow.
It's Bing Crosby.
Oh, Bing.
All right. Okay, I need to start. I need to pitch it higher than I want to.
You gotta live in the high.
Let me call you sweetheart. I'm in love with you.
Oh, that's good.
Let me hear you whisper how I need you to. The love light shining in your arms so true. This is too low. Let me call you sweetheart. I'm in love with you.
That yes!
was too low. It was too low.
Belting workshop training. Yes. Also, little fun fact.
Yeah.
Hey, I think someone wants to hear Sob and Give Birth. Just saying, it's a crowd pleaser.
Don't do it.
Tony and McKelty also had another song, but they didn't have the rights to it. And it was Book of Life.
Yes, Book of
Life. I Love You So Much, which is a really, really sweet song.
I love you too much. And she said, just so you guys know, we didn't have copyright, but that one really banged. I really nailed that one.
It was
one.
A banger. Like, okay. Oh my God, I can't wait to get to those episodes.
All right, stop.
That's really amazing.
Everyone in the comments is talking about that was good.
You have a beautiful voice.
I'm embarrassed now.
Stop it. You have a gorgeous voice. Okay, guys.
Smash
that
like. Sign up for our Patreon, please.
Yeah. So this week we are doing the season 5 finale, which is, I believe, when what's his name? Logan goes off to UNLV. And
they make him that blanket. Aurora's the first person to hug him when they open the package. Weird.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah, weird. It was weird.
And then we are going to do a watch along of MTV's Camped Out, which is like a fat camp but theater kids, which is going to be hilarious.
Which kind of is amazing. Is the same.
One of the same. Thing. Yeah. And yes. Then we'll be back with another chapter. And again, Amanda. Thank you. The other Amanda, thank you for the boot lamp. That spamming guy here in the comments. So get a hold of spamming guy. Everyone wants your pattern here for your crochet. I mean, this could be a big hit. So thank you. Thank you.
Before we leave, I just want to say Rhonda said my dog started barking when they heard your high note.
I love it. I love it.
All right, guys, I'm going to go to the ER now because I have to. This is
Okay. Fill us in. And thank you guys for appreciating my Janelle jacket. I truly
beautiful.
Love it. I'm so excited. Amazon.
Keep looking up on YouTube Surrogacy Matters or whatever.
Surrogacy is. It's at the bottom. Right. It's one of our favorite linked, but it's not up there yet. It's not going to be up there for a very long time.
Well,
and I will not remind you when it is.
Well, I will find out and everyone will be watching it. Thanks guys for joining us today. Love you.
Bye.
Bye. Well, guys, it's been a blast. Thank you so much for joining us today on our We Love to Hate Everything channel. Please do not forget to hit that subscribe button, give us a like or even a comment, and click on that bell if you want notifications, because you never know when we might pop up and go live. Please check out our other 2 podcasts on Patreon, where we snark on even more TV, movies, and pop culture. We got Total Request Podcast, that's patreon.com/trpod, and We Love to Hate TV, patreon.com/lovetohateTV. Thanks again, and we will see you next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.